sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. Matthew chapter 28 is where I want to start reading this morning. I just want to go straight to reading the word of the Lord. Matthew 28 and 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And to that I say, Amen. This morning, across this nation and several other places around the world, there's a special celebration going. And whether you want to call it Easter or Resurrection Sunday, I could care less for the argument. There's your pastor's stance on it. I could honestly care less for the argument. Every Sunday truly should be Resurrection Sunday and a time of praise of Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. But the reality is that there is a time that right now there are people thinking about that don't normally think about it. There are more churches celebrating and putting that out there into the public. Even us old Baptists talk about it more this Sunday than we do any other time. Out in the open, we are willing to share the truth that we serve a risen Savior today. That is a blessed truth. And I am thankful for any reason for us to do that. Any time that it would have a moment where people that don't normally consider their Savior hear about him. I'm not going to begrudge any reason for that. And even better than that this morning, have you considered this? Y'all remember where we were last year? This is a total rabbit trail, but that's all right. I'm going to chase it for just a second. Do you really remember where we were last year? All the madness and all the foolishness was coming to a head right now. And last Easter, I was standing in my living room talking to a computer screen in hopes that there was somebody on the other side. I've admitted openly to you and to the internet, of anybody that's listening, that I've regretted closing the doors of this church for even one day, much less the length of time that we did. Because at the end of the day, it was over fear. Fear of a virus, fear of public opinion, whatever the case may be, I was willing to close the door of the church over fear. And we were separated last Easter. But you know something? We're past that. The Lord saw fit to carry us through it. And we're back together in the Lord's house this morning, getting to celebrate a risen Savior. And even better than that, have you looked around? We're not missing anybody. I will tell you, not every pastor gets to say that this morning. Many churches are still missing a lot of people that were there pre-COVID that have not come back yet. I encourage you to be praying for the Lord's church. That people see the importance and the need of gathering together again for the worship of God as we should. And be thankful that the Lord carried us through that time and we're gathered together this morning as we should. Now, rabbit trail over, we'll get back to my subject this morning. We serve a risen Savior. That is something that should put a smile on your face and a skip in your heart and a spirit that's ready to go home. More than anything. We see here this morning the truth, the greatest truth of Christianity. That separates us from all other religion. There are other religions in this world that believe in a monotheistic God. That is the belief of a one God. There are other religions that believe in a monotheistic God. There are other religions that teach great moral teachings. There are other religions that believe in a chief prophet and Messiah. There are other religions out there in this world that do good things. But this is the one thing that separates us from everybody else. And I mean that. It separates us from everyone else. There is not another religion that can truly serve a living founder.
That's right. Amen.
The one that founded the New Testament church, the one that established it, the one that constituted it. We've got a constitution of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, but please understand, that's not the constitution of the church, that's the constitution of this local assembly. The one that constituted the Lord's church, the New Testament church that I trust that we're a member of today, that we're worshiping in today, the one that established that, set it apart, calls it his bride. We have a living husband, the one that established that, the one that founded it, told us how we're to worship, how we're to sing, how we're to praise, how we're to preach, the one that we're supposed to follow, is not dead laying in a ground somewhere. I can go to the tomb. Y'all know it's still there. There's part of me that would love to go to Jerusalem and to walk the path and to go stand in front of the tomb. But you know what I'm not going to find there? Not one single speck of DNA of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is there today. Not one molecule. Not ash, not dust, not bone, not mummified corpse. Nothing. That which the Christian religion is missing brings the fullness of the Christian religion. We are the only ones that serve a living founder, a living husband, a living Messiah, a living Lord, Savior, and King. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Scripture teaches this. We find here that it's, you know, that's part of the reason we worship on Sunday morning, not on the Sabbath. Did y'all know that? This is part of it. They came, the Sabbath being ended. We find here the Sabbath being over and beginning the dawn of the next day, which is the first day of the week, which is Sunday. They going, Mary Magdalene and Mary were going to the tomb to give respect to the body of Christ. Do y'all ever doubt? Really? Y'all ever doubt God? It's okay to admit that. I know sometimes we beat ourselves up for it. I know I beat myself up for it when I have thoughts of doubt creep in and thoughts of what ifs and all these things creep in. And sometimes it makes me feel like less of a Christian. It's normal to doubt. It's okay to doubt. Okay, y'all listen to me. It is okay to doubt from time to time. You're dealing with miraculous things. This is a miraculous truth that we're sharing this morning. People don't just come up out of the ground. That doesn't happen. You're dealing with miraculous things. I'm talking to you about a God that can speak to absolutely nothing and made everything that we see. And you don't have doubts of that sometimes? Let's get real. It's okay to doubt from time to time. It's not okay to get lost in your doubts. Please understand, you have Mary Magdalene here and Mary, the mother of Jesus, going to the grave after being with Him, listening to Him, and hearing Him say over and over and over again, I am going to be put to death, and 3 days later I'm coming out of the ground. And what were they doing on day four? They were going to the grave to give respect to a body. They doubted. And they were not alone. Well, you preacher brethren are exempt from this. No, we're not. The apostles didn't believe. Y'all remember doubting Thomas? He's forever remembered for his doubt, even though he was not the only one that doubted. He was the only one willing to voice the thing that everybody else was thinking. Everybody else kept it to themselves. Everybody else was us good old regular Christians. We're not going to say nothing, though we believe it and we think it. We're going to keep our mouth shut. Thomas was the one willing to say it. I'll believe it when I can put my fingers in the nail prints of his hand. That's when I'll believe it. All the apostles doubted. All of them. These women, the mother of his body herself, doubted that he was going to come up out of the ground. They're going to give respect to a body. Y'all think about it this morning. And the earth shook. The earth shook. And that great stone rolled back. This is not a small rock. Great stone got rolled back. That great stone that was sealed shut. By Caesar's seal, it was only by the king's decree that that would open again. I have a feeling that Mary Magdalene and Mary were going to have meet some resistance when they got there. We're not opening this for you. It was sealed shut. Centurion guards standing guard at the door so that no one could open it. Why was that? Somebody was afraid somebody was going to steal the body and spread a rumor. But the earth shook. And that stone rolled back. And the angel descended and sat down on top of that rock. And it reminds me again how many times I would love to see an angel. I really would. I really think I would enjoy the experience of being able to see an angel on this earth. I know I'm going to get to see one day. I look forward to that. But on this earth, see one. What an awesome thing that would be. But what a terrifying thing in reality it is. The angel descended and he shone bright as lightning and descended down and sat down. And them men of war that had seen things stood toe to toe when their life was on the line. They knew some stuff. They had seen things. These were brave centurion guards. They fell over like they were dead. They passed out, fainted. It's kind of humorous, but that's the power going on here. They hit the ground. and the two women going on about their business, doing their work, serving their Savior. That's what they were doing. Paying respects. Showed up to see a body. And the angel says, "Why seek you the living among the dead? I know you come to find, you come seeking Jesus who was crucified." Do any of y'all seek Jesus who was crucified? I hope you do. I hope we do. Let me give you a pointer. Don't seek him among the dead. Don't seek him among the dead things of this world. Don't seek him among the things that are separated from him. Don't seek the living among the dead. They come seeking there. It says, "I know you come seeking Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen just as he said he would. Go and tell the others." Christ was already gone. I want y'all to see this. I want y'all to understand this. This is the greatest truth of Christianity. And that's not thus saith John. We're going to look at that this morning. This is the greatest truth of Christianity. Jesus was already gone. Here's another little rabbit, and it's totally separated from this, but I've seen it 20 times this morning looking on social media. I can tell you one thing that absolutely did not happen, even if you call it Good Friday. Okay? I can tell you one thing that absolutely did not happen at Jesus Christ's crucifixion, and that was the devil celebrating. I have seen it countless times this morning. Satan was not celebrating at the death of Jesus Christ. He hung his head, knew he was defeated. He was not risen again to pay for our sins. Satan didn't realize he lost when Christ came out of the ground. He knew he had lost the minute the world went dark and he saw God pour out the punishment on his son that he wanted to see punished on all of us. And he saw it was being taken place right there. He knew he was defeated. He wasn't laughing.
That's right. Amen.
If he would have thought that would have been the defeat, he wouldn't have tried to stop him from getting there. Satan did not celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. He knew his head was being crushed just as it said it would happen in Genesis. Y'all understand that, please. Done with that rabbit. I want y'all to get this. That stone rolled back. I want y'all to know the earth didn't quake so that that stone could move. The angel didn't descend and roll it back to let our Savior out. Matthew is the only one that records it this way, but it's important to understand this. Y'all remember what happened when Jesus Christ said it was finished? The earth shook and trembled. What did Jesus say? He says, "I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up again." The moment he laid down his life and said it was finished, this earth shook as the power of God was descending upon it. And when Jesus Christ took his life up again, it shook again. The power of God affects this world. The earth shook as Jesus Christ took his life up again, just as he said he would. It didn't shake so he could come out. The stone didn't roll back so that he had access to come out. And if you want my honest opinion, this is why I tell you the last day the ground won't look like plowed ground. Jesus Christ didn't need that stone to roll back so he could come up out of the grave. I tell you what, and whenever the time was done, that 3 days and three nights was over, and the earth shook when he took up his life again, death was not befitting my Savior. When he stood up in that room, He took those death clothes off. They didn't fit him no more. He took those death clothes off. He folded them up nice and neat. We're supposed to be nice and neat. Y'all moms, y'all got that for free. Y'all listening kids are supposed to be nice and neat. He stood up. He took those death clothes off. He folded them up. He took the napkin off of his face. The death clothes were not fitting of him. Death could not hold him. The world could not hold him. The world did everything it could to hold him back. Satan did everything he could. And religion did everything they could in hiring the guards to stand out there. Everything tried to hold him back. He laid those death clothes aside and took on his glorified body, and he left. The rock was still there. It was still sealed shut, and he come out. That last day, we're going to have those glorified bodies. There's not one speck of dirt that's going to stand in the way of us coming up. Not one speck of dirt moved as my Savior come out of the ground. It couldn't hold him. It won't hold us either. We're going to get to that. He come up out of the ground. He's not there anymore. Do y'all believe that? Amen. Really believe it. Now go with me to Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I don't want you to just... I'm so thankful for the smiles this morning. I'm thankful for the near tears. I'm thankful for the tears if there are any there. I'm thankful for that emotion that I see. It gives me hope. It gives me courage to know that you're children of God because there's something in you that says how glorious this is. But let me tell you, this is not just for emotion. I don't want you to know it just enough to react to it and to smile pretty because it's such a beautiful story, because it is a beautiful story. It's an awesome story. It's an inspiring story. But I don't want this to be a storybook. I don't want you to just have a head knowledge of these things. I'm asking, do you believe this? You live by what you believe. I've shared this with y'all before. You live by what you believe. There is a very good reason I don't jump off of tall buildings. I do not jump off of tall buildings without something strapped to my back called a parachute, because I do not believe that I can fly. I do not believe that I can float. And I do not believe that I will survive the fall, much less the impact at the bottom. I don't believe that. So I'm not going to jump off a building. My girls think it's silly and they poke fun at me for using this illustration so much. But there's a reason I don't waste time in the woods looking for Sasquatch. I don't believe in him. I know about him. He hoops and hollers and beats on trees and throws rocks and such as that. I know about these things. I've heard it. I've watched the stories and read the books and such as that. But I don't believe in him. I'll go out in the woods to see nature and see God. I'll go out in the woods and enjoy camping and go fishing and hunting. I'm not going to waste time looking for Sasquatch. If I'm proved wrong one day and he shows up, great. But I don't believe in him. I'm not asking, do you just know that Jesus raised again? I'm not asking, do you just know that there was a man that was crucified and there was a man that purchased him coming down and being put in that grave, and the rock was rolled up there, and 3 days later, I know that rock come back and there was an angel that descended and that we're told that a man come out of the grave. I don't want you to just know these things. I'm asking, do you believe this? Do you live according to this? Do you worship God according to the truth that Jesus Christ is not in the ground anymore? Does that joy and that joy unspeakable and full of glory come out in you when you worship God because you know the power of God brought Jesus Christ out of the ground, and because Jesus Christ is not in the ground, there's a day coming that I'll not be in the ground? Do you worship according to the fact that you believe that this is true? Do you seek God because you believe this is true? This is the hinge point. This is the linchpin that holds all of Christianity together. The death and resurrection of our Savior is the absolute pinnacle point of the Christian religion. It is the absolute pinnacle point of all of our faith, our beliefs, and our worship, is this moment in time. It's that important. If you do not believe this, everything else falls apart. And that again is not thus saith John. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to start in verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, Lord forbid, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. This is the single most important thing of our religion, of the faith of God, of truly, of really and truly of our salvation, of all of it. If this is not true, everything else, we're wasting our time. I tell you, your grandparents wasted their effort getting you to church. Your mom and dad have wasted your time trying to get you to church. I have wasted the majority of my life coming to church and studying God and reading Scripture. You can take this entire book, every word of it and every bit of it. If Jesus Christ is still in the ground, you can take this entire thing and put it in the trash. That's what it's worth. That's how important this belief is. Paul is inspired by God to write this down and to leave this for our understanding, that if Jesus Christ didn't come out of the ground, we are wasting our time. We are, as the world would have us to be, useless and following a fable. Y'all understand that? Everything about this hinges off this one truth. We fall like a house of cards if this is false. But it's not. Amen. This is not a fable. I'm not making this up. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. He is risen. Why is this point so important? And why is it that this separates us from all other religion? Christianity, true Christianity, I'm going to word it that way, true Christianity, true religion as a whole, undefiled by Scripture, true religion, undefiled, is not about moral living. Did y'all know that? True religion is not about worldly blessings. True religion is not about you. True religion, according to Scripture, is about a God in heaven that created everything for the desire of having a people to worship Him for eternity. Not just this small little snippet of time called life. If Jesus Christ did not come out of the ground, the best God will ever get is small little snippet of time. God didn't want that. God wanted you for all eternity. And the only way that happens was this. The only way he gets you forever is if there's a resurrection from the dead. You know, God doesn't want just your body, your spirit. He doesn't want just your heart. I know there's a popular Christian song that all he wants is your heart. False. Even in this life, He wants all your heart, all your spirit, all your strength, all your mind. We're told that over and over again. He wants more than just your spirit in heaven. You know, things are not done when you die and your spirit goes to heaven. The moment this body quits holding you back and you die, your spirit's there. Praise God. It's not finished yet. He wants us body, soul, and spirit. We're told in Romans 8 that He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, did He not? What is the image of His Son? Body, soul, and spirit, glorified, resurrected from the dead. That's where He knew He was going to be, and that's what He predestinated us to be. That requires a resurrection from the dead. He desires us to have a glorified body, not a mortal body. Living with Him in heaven, worshiping Him for all eternity. And how glorious that'll be. He wants that. And unlike much of Christianity, I'm not going to tell you about a God that sits in heaven wanting something and is just wanting it so bad and just can't figure out how to make it happen. No, I tell you, God wants us in heaven. Guess where we're going to be? God wanted a duck-billed platypus to be on this earth, and that's why that goofy-looking creature is here. God gets what He wants. God wanted the earth to have 24-hour days. Guess what it has? God wanted it to have seasons. Guess what it has and what He says it'll have to the day He comes back? Seasons. We all like the comfortable ones, but get over it. God wanted us to have heat and cold. What God wants, He gets. And He said before the foundation of the world that I will have a people and they will be here with me in heaven with glorified bodies worshiping me for all eternity, and that's what He's going to get. And Jesus Christ was the first begotten of the dead. And we are predestinated to be just like Him. Wow. What a day that will be. This is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. And that's why I had us go to 1 Corinthians 15. It lays out here the greatest proof that we can possibly have of this. 1 Corinthians 15, it is such a legal portion here. It lays aside proofs here that we can depend on, we can trust in. The first one I want you to understand, it says, is Scripture. Okay? I'm going to back up to verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's going to repeat that terminology several times through this. According to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ saw to it in His life here that we understood the importance of Scripture, the importance of the Word of God. We have a greater testimony than all of the prophets of old, and it's called Scripture. And that's why He listed it first, according to the Scriptures. That happened, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ, you know, you don't get to a resurrection without a death. The fact that the world today celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ requires us first to celebrate the death of our Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He didn't fall asleep. He didn't get sick. He wasn't just tortured for nothing. He was tortured. But He wasn't tortured for nothing. He died. Scripture records that perfectly. Even in medical terminology, it records it perfectly. When they lanced His side with the spear, the blood had already separated. He was dead. Gruesome, isn't it? He died for our sins. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's going to go on and list out several other proofs, but He reminds us again, the greatest proof we have is the Word of God. It is sharper than any two-edged sword to the dividing asunder, the soul, the spirit, and the intents. The Word of God is the greatest proof that we have. But if that's not good enough for you, He goes further. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren. Well, that's all well and good. He's seen 500 people. You can find 500 false witnesses at once. He stood in the midst of a congregation 500 plus strong at one time. This is not mass hysteria. My Savior stood in His glorified body with the holes in His hands in front of 500 plus people at one time. That is inarguable. That would stand up in the face of any trial out there. Above 500 at once. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. I mean, that's the difference between the first century church and now. Can you imagine Resurrection Sunday then? Jesus is risen. Yeah, I saw Him. I placed my finger in His hands. Tell me this is a lie. I spoke with Him. I sat and ate with Him. I went fishing with Him. He did that. Could you imagine that worship service? You still got it. The Word of God still raising its hand saying, I was there. Let me tell you about Him. But some are falling asleep. Some have already died and gone. Some are past and gone. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. There were several people that saw our Lord and Savior resurrected. This is not a fable. This is truth. This is proof. This is something we can trust in. This is something we can believe in. This is something that we can live our life according to. We can mold our worship of God according to this. We can worship God better knowing this. We can be bold in life knowing this. Knowing full well. Let me explain a belief in this, okay? If you believe this, you live according to this. Jesus Christ was raised again from the dead. Amen?
Amen?
Death will not stop you. What is the worst this world can do to you? Speed you up going home. I don't belittle death. I don't belittle the separation from family or anything along those lines. Please understand. But I tell you, the worst thing that this world can do to you is kill you, and that won't stop you. You feel like a failure in this life. This life's not it. You can let that go. This life's not it. You've got all eternity to do better, and you will. A belief in this will encourage you and lift you up above anything that this world can throw at you. When you truly believe that a Savior, that Jesus Christ was willing to stand in front of His loved ones that turned their back on Him and spat in His face and cursed Him and mocked Him and told Him He was useless in His worst times. When somebody turns their back on you, you can know and understand that I'm not alone. I'll live over this. You want to know how I know? Jesus lived over it. Jesus is alive. Amen. He knows your hearts. He knows your body. He knows your mind. He knows your experiences. He knows your temptations. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your pains. He knows your sufferings. He knows your hunger. He knows your tiredness. He knows you inside and out. And you know, and you tell me that you believe that He is alive, that means you can talk to Him. And that you can still seek Him. And you can still go to Him and honor Him and respect Him as these women were trying to do. You can still go and you can still seek Him. You can still talk to Him and He'll listen. You can seek Jesus who is crucified. Because He is risen. This is the blessed truth of this. What does it mean that He is resurrected? What does it mean for us? Go with me to Romans chapter 4. This is my last text for this morning. Romans chapter 4 tells us the emphasis of Him being resurrected. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. Why did Jesus die? For our offenses, for our sins. That punishment that was poured out on Him prior to death, that punishment, that 3 hours of darkness, that absolute punishment that was poured out on Him was ours. That's what we deserved. And that's why Satan was not tap dancing while that was going on. Everything he wanted to see on us was being poured out on Jesus, and he knew when God was done with that, he would be done. Satan was not tap dancing as Jesus died. He was delivered up for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What is the importance of Jesus being resurrected? The fact that Jesus come up out of the ground. Okay, Jesus could have, okay, this is a hypothetical. This is what could have happened. And y'all understand, our salvation would be totally untouched if this is the way it had occurred. Jesus could have raised from the dead and went home. And stayed there until the day he returned. Our salvation would have been totally unaffected. Our sins would still be paid for. His resurrection did not pay for our sins. His death paid for our sins. He could have resurrected and went home and never been seen. The door stayed sealed, the centurion guard standing in place, and everyone here would have done what? Doubted. Christianity would have fell apart. We'd have nothing to stand firm on. We'd have the word of mouth, we'd have the word of apostles, and I can tell you by Scripture that that's believable and that's something to stand on. But y'all want to know something? God likes to show out. God likes to show up and He likes to show out from time to time. Was it necessary for the Red Sea to part so that they could walk on dry ground? I firmly believe if they would have just kept walking, they could have even walked on water and went to the other side. There was lots of ways that he could have had that happen. Pharaoh and his army could have gotten lost and just decided to stay home, and they'd have just been just as much removed from Egypt. God likes to show out sometimes. Why? The Red Sea parting and standing up on its sides was not for Egypt. The Red Sea parting so that they could walk across on dry ground was for Israel, stiff-necked, not willing to yield, people walking across going, wow. When the sun stood still so they could finish the battle, you can fight at night. God's people was giving God an excuse why they were going to quit, and God says, I'll handle that. And it stood still. It's so that they could see, okay, I don't have an excuse. God likes to show out sometimes. You know that Israel could have taken Jericho without the walls falling. Don't believe me? Look at what they did with all the other cities when they followed God's word. The people ran out of the cities if they needed to for him to defeat them. But it was the first battle. The first one across into the promised land. What did the people of God need to see? That God is going to be with us and he's going to make this happen in ways that we couldn't possibly get done. God likes to show out. Jesus could have been crucified and went in the ground and woken up the third day and gone home without any pomp or any circumstance or anything else along those lines, and we would still be saved. He still rose again. See, I left that in there. Paul says, if he be not raised, our faith is vain. He rose again, but he went home and never was seen. Who needed the point, though? What did he do instead? God showed out. The earth shook. And the angel descended, shining as light in the bright day, and sat down on the rock, not to show how Jesus come out, but to show that he did. Why'd Jesus leave the clothes laying there? Not because he had to, because they didn't fit him anymore, and we needed to know that the death clothes won't fit us either. And he left them there. Why did he go up before doubting Thomas and say, here they are then, brother? Because we need to understand this is true. He was raised again in this glorified fashion, in this way that's going to get everybody's attention and be seen above 500 at one time, because we needed the proof. We needed to know for our justification. He showed us that we are justified in the eyes of God. This justification is not being made just. When he was raised again and come out in this fashion, it is not what made us just in the eyes of God. But I tell you, the fact that the stone rolled back to an empty hole shows me that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and his sacrifice was accepted, and there's not anything about me that's going to hold me away from God. Amen. Not even my death. When Jesus died on the cross, he took everything from me that separated me from God, and it was accepted. And I know that because the ground was already empty when the tomb rolled back. He was risen again for our justification so that I can know I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I've got a hope in heaven. I've got to hope that if, God forbid, I die before my time, it's not going to hold me away from him. And I know that to be true because Jesus showed me that that's true. That's why he was raised again in such a glorious fashion. Jesus did everything for us even in his death. He did it for us. He showed up and he showed out so that we would know and quit our being lost in our doubts. It's okay to doubt from time to time, but open the witness. And look at all the hands that raise up and say, I was there. You've got above 500 brothers and sisters in here at one time that say, I was there when Jesus Christ was alive. Why are you lost in your doubts? He was raised again for our justification so that we can trust in his resurrection just as strongly as we trust in his death. I trust in his death that my sins were paid. I trust in his resurrection that heaven is going to be my home. Because God promised, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And to those that he predestinated, he also justified. And those that he justified, he also glorified. I thank you, and God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me?
Sing it with
me. Sing it with me.
The saints in glory,
gathered by
the crystal sea.